rested. As I travel day by day, oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul, just to know that His grace is sufficient for me.
When
when the tempter brings confusion, and I don't know what to do, on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. Then despair is changed to victory, every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul, just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. And what joy
Thank you, Brother Steve, for that.
Amen. Well, good singing. Thank you for being here with us today. I invite you to take your Bibles. I hope you have your Bibles, and I hope you follow along as you have your Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 today, 1 Corinthians 15. And we could already tell the theme today is on grace. And grace is one of those Christianese words, can I say it that way? That if you are outside these walls, you never darken the door of a church, that's probably a word you don't use too often. But inside these walls and inside Christian circles, we use it quite often, don't we? Grace. Grace. So today, my purpose, my goal, is to try to get you more acquainted with grace. It's a wonderful word, probably the most beautiful word in all of Christendom, in all the Word of God, is grace. Grace. How would you define it? Well, grace is unmerited favor. That's your technical definition. You could break that down. Merit is something you do to get something. You merit something. If you work a job, you get a paycheck. You merit that. Unmerited, you don't earn it. A favor is a gift. Or we could put it this way, giving to us that which we don't deserve. I'll pick on our resident mechanic here today. If I was not nice to Mike Fink and I did something that was offended him, and he turned around and gave me a nice red Camaro or something, that would be grace. You don't have any of those in your parking lot, do you? No, right now? Okay. Or Corvette. I'm not big into sports cars, all right? But anyway, whatever it is, that would be grace, would it not? That would be grace. Yeah. Hey, that's what God did for us. God gave us what we don't deserve. And you know, the Christian life is all about that type of mindset. God, thank you for your grace. Lord, I do not deserve anything. It's all about you. It's all about you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Look what Paul said. He said, but for by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now let that sink in a little bit. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Only by God's grace. Now when you think about Paul, Paul started so many churches. Paul led hundreds of people, thousands maybe even to the Lord. Paul wrote half the books of the New Testament. But Paul said, I don't have anything to glory in. It's only by God's grace. Only by the grace of God is the title of the message today. Let's pray. Father, we need your help today as we look into this subject. Lord, I can't even begin to adequately express your grace. And so, Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit would do that. I pray you impress upon our hearts some aspect of it that maybe we haven't thought of before. Maybe some aspect that'll just set us on our way and get us going today and be an encouragement and a help. Lord, maybe some aspect that we need to act in our lives and to do and to change. Certainly, Lord, our whole entire life is about grace as a Christian. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. Father, the truth of the matter is we need it. And you offer it. And so we praise you for it. So God, help us as we look at these scriptures today to understand in a better way, a fuller way, and really in a way that is applied to our lives, this whole aspect of grace. We pray. Your Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I looked up grace in the concordance, and grace is used 156 times in the Word of God. So it's definitely emphasized more times in the New Testament than the Old, but some in the Old as well. And so we read about grace, grace, grace. We can't help but see it as we go through, especially the New Testament. And Paul, as we start here in 1 Corinthians 15, 10, and we're going to branch off to other verses, but Paul says, notice, he said, it was only by God's grace that he was what he was. If you look back a verse 9, he says, I am the least of the apostles. Now, we wouldn't judge Paul that way. We were in Sunday school class this morning, and I asked people who your favorite Bible character was. Well, mine's kind of a split between Paul and David, but I admire Paul. Wow, his boldness, his heart for God, his witnessing, his intelligence that God gave him in expressing the gospel in such a clear manner written down in the Word of God. I would not think of him as the least. I'd probably put him up at the top. And I don't think this is false humility of Paul. Paul says, in his honest opinion, he says, I'm really at the bottom rung. When you talk about those 12 apostles, put me at the bottom. And he explains why. He says, I'm not meet or fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And he's so remorseful for what he did before he was saved and how he caused some to be put in jail and imprisoned and made their life miserable. And he says, I persecuted the church of God. And so he says, the only way, the only thing I could ever give credit to for anything I've ever done is only by God's grace. Look at verse number 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, God's grace was given to me, was not in vain. He said, it wasn't in vain what God did for me. And now it's going to seem like he's taking credit a little bit. But keep reading. He says, I labored more abundantly than they all who? Well, all the apostles. I worked harder than all of them. I started more churches, won more people to the Lord. But then notice he directs it right back to God's grace. But then he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Hey, you know, sometimes I think in my own life, God, I pray, God, I wish I can give more credit. Forgive me from not giving enough credit, God, to your grace. It's only by the grace of God that I can stand here in this pulpit. It's only by the grace of God that I can sing. It's only by the grace of God that I can write anything. It's only, really, can you know what, folks, when it gets right down where the rubber meets the road, it's only by the grace of God that you woke up this morning. It's only by the grace of God that you walked across that room. It's only by the grace of God that you had a little daughter or a little son come up to you and give you a big hug, or your spouse. And that's all only by the grace of God. If we got what we deserve today, where would we be? We'd be burning in the fires of hell. That's right. Every last one of you, myself included. Thank you, God, for your grace that he's given to us. What areas of grace does he give? And I see in Scripture, I see at least four areas, and there's probably more. But let's look at four areas that God gives grace. Number one, first of all, he gives saving grace. Saving grace. We don't have to go back very far in 1 Corinthians 15, back to just at the beginning of the chapter, verse number 3. Paul outlines the object of God's saving grace, which is the gospel. We can say in verses 3 and 4 is the gospel in a nutshell. He says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. What is it? What did you receive, Paul, that you delivered? How that Christ, number one, died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Number two, he was buried. And number three, he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. And isn't it interesting that Paul speaks the gospel here, verse 3 and 4, and then very quickly talks about the grace of God. The grace of God and the gospel. We see it connected all through Scripture. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by what? Grace are ye saved through faith. And then not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, we hear so much the expression today, faith-based organizations. We hear that a lot. And that was coined, I think, even by President George Bush. And I understand it was trying to help out churches and synagogues and things like that. All right. But how about we call it grace-based organizations? Because we're only here by God's grace. Now, we have access to that grace by faith. In other words, you can't receive God's grace in your life unless you have faith. So either one's accurate. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith is the channel to God's grace. Faith is the channel to receiving God's grace. You can only have God's grace as you express faith. Sometimes we think, well, we can get God's grace by doing some kind of works or some kind of faith and works system. And I'll tell you, the devil gets many people confused because many churches teach that. And you talk to anybody that goes to a type of church that maybe teaches that, and they'll say, oh, yes, I believe in Jesus. But the more you talk to them, the more you realize, well, they're adding things to it. See, the only way you can have access to God's grace is by faith in Christ and faith in Christ alone. It's not by works of righteousness. For by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a, what's the next word? Help me out. Gift of God. Isn't that great? It's a gift of God. And if you didn't get it the first time, Paul explains it again. Not of works. What? Lest any man should boast. If we get to heaven and we got saved by works, will I be there? And I'd meet Pastor Jeff Neal and I'd say, hey, how did you get here? He says, well, man, I composed 1,000 different songs and we sang them in church all along. Well, how'd you get here? Well, I said, I wrote 1,000 different sermons. No. It has nothing to do with nothing. If that's how we would get to heaven, we'd all be lost. It's only by the grace of God. Turn with me back to Acts just a minute. And we're going to jump around here a little bit. Stay with me if you can. In this study, I was amazed how many times the book of Acts mentions grace. Think about this in regard to salvation. Acts 11, verse 23. All right, this was Acts 11, verse 23. This was Barnabas sent to Antioch. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 19, okay? Barnabas was sent to Antioch, all right, to see what was going on there. And it says in verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now that's what was happening in Antioch. Verse 22, then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, that is Barnabas came, and then notice how it expresses it, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. But go back, he saw the grace of God. What did he see? Well, I got an arrow drawn from verse 23 in my Bible to verse 21. What was the grace of God that he saw? Well, the grace of God that he saw is that a great number believed and turned to the Lord. All right? That's the grace of God. All right? That was what he saw. And really, in a sense, you all, as I look out on our congregation today, you all are the grace of God. You are trophies of his grace. And so this is what Barnabas said. He saw the grace of God. When we see a congregation of believers, that we see in the grace of God. When we're seeing people get saved, we're seeing the grace of God. When we go on a mission trip and we see people get saved, we see in the grace of God. When we have vacation Bible school and we see these young people giving their heart to the Lord, we're seeing the grace of God. When you got saved, that was an act of the grace of God. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, again, the same type of expression is used in regard to salvation. Salvation is an act of the grace of God. Acts 20, verse 24. Look what Paul said his ministry is. Paul says his work. Look what he says his work is. Acts 20, 24. He says, but none of these things move me. All right, talking about how the persecution, he says, they don't move me, change me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. And what is his ministry that he's received of the Lord Jesus? To testify the gospel of what? The grace of God. Hey. When you are preaching and teaching or witnessing to somebody, you are testifying of the grace of God. Hey, can I share some good news with you? Can I share about the greatest gift? Can I share something about grace? There was one missionary we had here and a few years back, and I remember he said when he gives tracts, that's what he tells people. He says, hey, I want to offer you some hope. I want to offer you some hope. We can say, I want to offer you some grace. Now, they have to admit that they need it in order to get it. They have to have faith. They have to realize they're a sinner. But that's what we're doing. We're testifying of the grace of God. You know, salvation and the grace of God always go together in the Word of God. Listen to these verses. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, in whom ye have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. His grace is yours for the asking. Receive it by faith. If you've never done so, very simply the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, three greatest words in the Bible, shall be saved. And you could be saved, saved from your sins, saved from hell, have an eternity in heaven, just simply by faith receiving Christ and asking him to be your Savior. Saving grace. But can I tell you, Christians, there are some others, and that second one would be sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is living grace. Now, we're not only saved by grace, we live by grace. The word sanctification means being set apart. It's a process that begins at salvation and continues until we get to glory. You're in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 13. Again, so many verses on grace. We're not even going to begin to cover, scratch the surface, as we say. But look at Acts 13 and verse 43. Acts 13 and verse 43. This is the words that Paul spoke at Antioch of Pisidia. And he says here, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who's speaking to them. And notice what Paul spoke, and they kind of summarized what he spoke. He persuaded them to, notice, here's grace again, to continue in the grace of God. To continue in the grace of God. You began in the grace of God. You accepted Christ. It was by his grace that you're saved. Paul says, continue in that grace. Live by grace. Walk by grace. In that sanctification, God says that's what you ought to do. All right. You know, really, grace and sanctification is God's undeserved enablement to help us grow. All right. Someone said grace is like outside help. God gives us outside help to help us to grow, to help us be sanctified. We need God's grace. Look at Acts 20, verse 32. Can turn over a few pages. Again, we see this whole idea about God's grace helps not only save us, it helps to sanctify us. Acts 20 and verse number 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. How about that? Think about that just a minute. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up. All right? What is causing you to grow? The Word of God. It comes through God's grace, and His grace helps you to grow. It's not all our doing. It's God's doing, working in us, helping us to grow. Listen to these other verses showing the relationship again between sanctification and God's grace, between growth and God's grace. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Listen to this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us what? What does the grace of God teach us? What does the grace of God teach you in your life? It says, teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's some teaching out there today that says God's grace will cause you or enable you to live kind of a licentious lifestyle in freedom and so forth. No, that verse says it teaches us that the grace of God teaches us that we deny ungodliness. We deny worldly lust. And we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what God's grace teaches us. God's grace teaches us and causes us to grow. Romans 12:3, Paul says, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. In 2 Corinthians 8, 6 and 7, Paul's talking about giving. And what does he call it? He calls it a grace. A grace to give. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us to grow in grace. You know, when I'm tempted, and I know that there's going to be a temptation befall me. Now, Satan's tricky many times because Satan will throw a temptation when we're not ready. That's tough, isn't it? And when we get through that temptation, whether we pass or fail, we sigh, look to heaven and say, oh, boy, Satan really threw one off on me there. I had no idea that was coming. But sometimes we do know when temptation's coming. And my prayer many times is when that temptation is coming, Lord, I need your grace. God, I need your grace to be able to handle this. I need your grace to know how to act in this situation. God, I need your grace when I'm faced with this situation. Some of you that are bus drivers, I'll give you an illustration. Some of you that are bus drivers can understand. I see some people smiling. Or many, some of you that teach Sunday school or children's church can understand. But particularly when you're driving a bus, you're concentrating. And I drove a bus for several years for school kids. And you're concentrating on driving on the road. And half the time your eyes on the road, half your time they're on that mirror looking back. And probably more times they should be on the road than they're in the mirror. And, okay, so-and-so, sit down. So-and-so, stop hitting your brother. So-and-so, stop doing that. And you're driving. And, this is confession time, okay? Confession's good for the soul, all right? I'm not perfect. I lost my temper more than once on that bus. And I pulled off to the side of the road. And I turned around. And I just let them have it. Now, you ask my kids, mild-mannered, tempered Pastor John will never... Well, don't talk to my kids about that because they'll tell you something else. All right, but anyway, we're all human. And so I did that, and they were quiet. Boy, there wasn't a peep on that bus from that point on, but I felt like, you know, the Word of God says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And I thought, God, I probably was a little over the top there. Lord, forgive me. I need to handle these things in a different way. And so I started praying. I said, God, I know I'm going to be on that bus. And by the way, I taught school too. So I was teaching school and then I got on that bus and I wasn't in any mood for anybody to give me any problems, okay? But when I got on that bus, I prayed, Lord, God, please give me your what? Grace. God, I need your grace right now to help in this situation. And when I prayed that prayer, I noticed it wasn't in me. I noticed and I could feel God's help and presence as I'm driving. God whispering in my ear, John, this is going to happen. John, picture yourself in calm control. And that aspect of God's grace helped me. And that's just kind of a silly illustration. There might be a multitude of times when you're facing temptation, Christian. You can't get through it on your own. You need God's grace to help you. You need God's grace to sanctify you. You need God's grace to be more like Jesus. And so many times we say, well, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm not going to face that temptation. I'm not going to succumb to that temptation, whatever that temptation might be. And next time the devil's not going to get me. Listen, you're no match for the devil on your own. No, you need God's help. Grace is outside help. I need sanctifying grace. God, give me your grace in my life that I might not fall to temptation, that I might be conformed. What? To the image of Jesus Christ. Hey, there is saving grace. But, oh, don't forget sanctifying grace. and we need to appropriate it to our lives. We ask for God's grace and salvation. We need to ask for God's grace and help in our lives to live a holy, godly life. But then there's a third one. That third one is sharing grace, sharing. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians 15 again. We started there. I want you to see something in this verse. Because Paul speaks of the grace of God. He speaks of the grace of God in salvation. He speaks of the grace of God in sanctification. But he also speaks of the grace of God in sharing the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:10, notice he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, what is he referring to? Well, he's referring to his salvation, but he's referring to more than that. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. What am I? Well, he said, I'm a church planter. I'm a laborer. Keep reading. He says, his grace, he mentions it again. In fact, he mentions it three times in this verse. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Because God's grace then bestowed upon me, not only saved me, but helped me to do what he's now saying. He says, what? I labored. I worked for the Lord. You see, God's grace isn't just to save us. It isn't just to make us holy. It's also to help us to share the word of God with other people. Hey, I need God's grace to keep me from temptation. I need God's grace to help me share the word of God. All right? And Paul said God's grace was there. And he says, in fact, he gives credit to it. He says, I labored more abundantly than they all, but yeah, it wasn't me, but the grace of God which was with me. God gave me the grace to share the gospel. God gave me the grace to plant these churches. God gave me that grace. Look in Philippians chapter 1 just a minute. Go there. If we're in 1 Corinthians, just keep moving. A couple books over and you keep coming and you'll get the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Thanks for staying with me and follow along. Philippians chapter 1 and look in verse 6. Again, a writing of Paul. Paul speaks of God's grace. He says, I have grace to preach the gospel. By the way, Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it talks about great grace was upon the apostles to preach the gospel. Great grace. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says this to the Philippian believers. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. I love that verse. That verse gives me so much encouragement that when I fail, God's not through with me yet. Amen? He says he's going to perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. But then Paul said this. He says, why am I saying this about you? Well, he says, verse 7, even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all. Think what of them all? Well, that God's not through with them yet, that God's going to do a work in you, and he's going to keep working until the day of Christ. He says, it's meet for me to think that because I have you in my heart. We'll keep going here. He's going to get to the word grace. He says, you're in my heart. For as much as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, Paul was in prison and he had to defend the gospel. He says, you're in my heart and you're with me. And he says, ye are partakers of my what? What's the next word? Of my grace. You're partakers of my grace. All right, stay with me here. Here's what happened. Paul led these people to the Lord. He shared God's grace with them. They accepted God's grace through faith. God enabled them to live their life for Christ through grace. And now he says, through that process, I am now partakers of God's grace with you. Hey, that person sitting next to you, if they're saved, you know what they are? They're a partaker of God's grace. Right? I'm looking at some of you down here. You are partakers of God's grace. You and me both. Partaker means share. We share God's grace. And if you're a believer, we have something in common because we're both sharing God's grace. If you're without Christ, I don't have a whole lot in common with you. Now, we can talk about food and we can talk about clothes you wear and whatever else, things of this world. But we don't have the most important thing. We're not sharing God's grace. Hey, we need to be able to share God's grace and we can be partakers. I like that. Are you a partaker of someone else's grace? Paul says you're a partaker of my grace. Look in Colossians chapter 4. Keep going. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 4. Notice here, when we talk about sharing God's grace, we not only need to share it so that we become partakers of that person. If we witness to somebody and they get saved, they're now partakers of the same grace that I have. We've got something in common. They're my brother and sister in Christ. But then not only as they become partakers, but in the method that we use, we also need to reflect God's grace. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this. It says, let your speech be always with what? Say it. What's the next word? Look at it with me. Let your speech be always with what? Help me out. Grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Your speech needs to be with grace. You know, the only way your speech can be with grace is if your heart's with grace. If you are a recipient of God's grace, He wants you to share that grace with others. And the only way we can share that grace with others, if we get a full realization of how gracious God has been to me, and then I want to share it with somebody else. And my speech needs to be with grace. It means I need to what? I need to give that person what they don't deserve. Somebody might come to your mind right now and you say, that person doesn't deserve any good thing that I give them. I mean, it might be someone that's saved. It might be someone that's lost. And you know what? I don't really want to share any good thing with them. Well, grace is sharing. As we receive God's grace, we share it. We share it in a manner that pleases God. We share it graciously. I remember a lady that was doing a, going back to my college days, doing a fine arts series. And they would often get these singers and instrumentalists in there that were very good. And they would put on a little concert I remember one time a lady that was phenomenal, I thought, amazing job. And I didn't really get into all those too much, operas and so forth, but she did an amazing job. And she said, I would like to meet some of you students afterwards. And so I happened to get out at the exit and the side of the auditorium there, and she was standing right there. I said, oh, I'll go shake her hand. Well, to me, I felt like I'm a little low college student, you know, and she's like this professional singer or whatever. And I said, wow, I'll get to shake her hand. I can say I shook her hand if I ever see her name in print or in the media or something like that. And when I shook her hand, I said, you did a good job. And she said to me, said, thank you so much. And she said, I don't deserve that. I thought, what are you talking about? Well, here's the thought that came to my mind. You know the first word that came to my mind? I thought, she is very gracious, gracious. Because she was not coming across like, I am God's gift to you. You know, that's why some people come across. No. She was coming across like, you're better than I am. Like, what are you talking about? I know another guy that did a concert there, and he was Spurgeon. He was pretending to be Spurgeon. Did an amazing job. And I'm studying for the ministry, so I really took notice to that. And he put on a costume of Spurgeon, and he was preaching like Spurgeon. And I thought, wow, just amazing. And I'll never forget when he came back out after the applause was over and they wanted him to say something, he said, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Wow. That's the attitude we ought to have. That's the attitude we ought to have. Realization that I am only what I am because of God's grace. And then that's reflected to other people. If we do that, we're going to shake people's hands. If we do that, we're going to smile. If we do that, we're going to say, hey, I'm praying for you. Sharing God's grace with others. All right, reflecting God's grace in our life, sharing. You know, really a lot of it involves forgiveness. Are you willing to forgive? And if we're willing to forgive, then we'll share grace. Forgiveness, someone said, is choosing to not exercise my right against someone to hold the offense against them. A little bit of a mouthful. But choosing to not exercise my right against that person. No, just let it go. Let it go. That's showing grace, isn't it? Grace. Let me give you one more and we'll be finished. Suffering grace. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, God gives us grace. He saves us. God gives us grace to sanctify us. God gives us grace to share. We ought to share God's grace with someone. Share it in a manner that pleases God. But then there is another one, and that is grace when we're suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know the verse, they sang about it earlier today. I didn't ask them to sing that, by the way, so praise the Lord, just all work together. But look at these verses, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 9. Paul had a disease. Paul had some health issues, and Paul prayed like we pray. Paul asked for those health issues to be relieved. He says in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have a thorn in the flesh? Don't say it's your husband, please, or your wife, all right? That's all people looking at each other. No, we're talking about some health issue here, all right? You say, I have a thorn in the flesh. Paul did, and he attributed it, rightly so, to Satan. God allowed it, but Satan did it. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. So he's got this thing, he's got this problem Verse 8, he did like we do, and what he should have done. This thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And here's God's answer, and I love it. And he said unto me, God said to him, my what? Grace is sufficient for thee. It's enough for thee. Two ways you can think about that. You can think of that as being there's plentiful grace, but it's also enough for you, Paul. In other words, you don't need healing. What you need is my grace. You ever think about that? Sometimes we pray and pray and pray for a Christian to be healed. God, heal him, heal him, heal him, heal him, heal him, heal him, heal him. Maybe God just wants to take him home, be with him. Like Enoch, and he was not, for God took him. Now, I'm not saying sometimes it takes a lot of wisdom to know how to pray for somebody. But God said to Paul, all you need is my grace. You know, many times when I go in to visit someone in the hospital that might not have very much time left, my prayer many times is, God, give them grace. Give them grace. Now, I'm not trying to say that as a, you know, something we say in our Christianese language. No, I really mean it and praying that, God, would you give that person grace that I don't even understand? Because I've never been in their position knowing that I only have a couple weeks to live or maybe a couple days or hours. God, give them grace that I can't even imagine or understand at this time. But look what Paul said. He goes on. He says, God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. If you're weak, God says, you got perfect strength. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, if that's what's going to get God's power, that's what I want. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Underline it. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. Wow. You don't often think about that. Laying in a hospital bed, first thought that comes to your mind, well, I'm going to be stronger than I ever had because of God's grace. There's a special grace, I believe, that God gives to those suffering. There's a popular song that's been sung. I haven't heard it sung in a long time, but it's called New Grace. Let me read the words. It says, all of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe, living grace he has extended, as on him my heart depended. And he'll give new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from his bountiful store, grace to cross the river, grace to face forever. There'll be new grace I've not needed before. There's been grace for every trial. There's been grace for every mile. There's been grace sufficient from his vast supply. Grace to make my heart more tender. Grace to love and pray for sinners. But there'll be new grace when it's my time to die. Grace not yet discovered. Grace not yet uncovered. Grace from his bountiful store. Grace to cross the river. Grace to face forever. There'll be new grace I've not needed before. What a truth. What a precious word is God's grace. Can I ask you a question today? Have you applied God's grace to your life? Have you by faith entered into God's grace? You need it. For without God's grace, you'll never see God's glory. For without God's grace, you'll never see heaven's arches. You'll never see the pearly gates. And when it comes time, our time to die, you need God's grace. But at that time to die, it's going to be too late. Would you accept them today? Christian, are you allowing God's grace to work his sanctifying work in you? Are you praying for God's grace to help you through the trials of life, to help you through the temptations of life? Are you allowing that sanctifying grace? And when it comes time to go, are you relying on God's suffering grace? Oh, how we need God's grace. Would you apply it to your life today? Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. We're going to close in a word of prayer, but if you're